Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Welcome to another week. I'm saying a very big thank you to every one of you for following through with us. The book of John has been amazing. It's been awesome. We've learned so many things. And we're just going to continue today. And my prayer is as we look into God's word together, the entrance of his word will bring light to us and understanding. In Jesus' name, may we receive grace to put his word to practice. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. John 15 begins with the word pruning. Pruning is when you notice that a particular tree is not bringing out much fruit. So what you do is to cut some of the branches so that you can allow that tree to bear much fruit. So pruning is in the spiritual sense or in the sense of being a believer is when God decides to release us as believers to go through some form of trials, some form of persecutions, you know, so that character can be built in us. Pruning is what Joseph encountered when God told him he was going to become a mighty man. And then God saw that he needed to go through that pruning stage of his life. And then he took him to Potiphar. And when he got to Potiphar's house, the Bible says as soon as he got there, the house of Potiphar began to enjoy the favor of God. But at some point, God saw that Joseph needed to go through that wilderness period of his life before the glory would, you know, shine forth. And then it was light against. He went to prison. He was hated by his brother. You see, what Joseph went through, most of us cannot bear half of what, you know, Joseph went through. It's the same for the Israelites. The Israelites spent several years in Egypt, suffering, wailing, you know, being punished, being enslaved in Egypt. But at the end of the day, God showed up for them. It's the same with almost every father of faith in the Bible. Look at Abraham. Abraham needed to go through several tests, several pruning, you know, before he was able to shine. And that is exactly how it is with us as believers. There is no way at some point in your life you will not have that wilderness experience. You know, this is why I like to quote this scripture from Philippians 4:4. It is not really my best scripture. My best scripture is Romans 8:28. But this verse, I love to quote this verse. And I kind of feel that it's something that it looks impossible to do. But it's a word of God. It's an instruction to us. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Then it says, and again, I say rejoice. No, so that means that in all ways, in all situations, rejoice. Why? Because my best scripture now, all things are working together for your good. So no matter what you're going through, no matter that situation, some of you believe that God is unfair because God gave you a dad and a mom that, you know, are struggling financially. And you don't even know that the reason why God gave you such parents is so that you can trust him. God already knows that some of you will not. If you had parents who were so rich, you wouldn't even think you need God for anything. Someone like me, I became independent from the age of 14, 15, 16. I mean, from my secondary school days, I was already more like an independent person. Apart from the money they would give to me to go to school then, in fact, my transport fare to and fro. So what they would give to me is like 60 naira. My transport fare to and fro is about 120 naira. So that means the money is not even enough for transport fare, let alone, you know, eating. So some of us went through hell. And then I'll come back from school, have to stay up, egg roll, and do a lot of, you know, hard labor, hard work. I sold pure water, I sold egg roll, I sold kerosene. You know, we went through all of these things. But one thing I know is that it was early for me to learn how to depend on God and not my parents. Some of us learned so many things just because of the things that we went through. And that's exactly how it is with us too. So whatever it is you are going through, see it as a school. And the beautiful thing, or the unfortunate thing, or fortunate thing, is that if you don't pass in that school, you will not graduate. God will have to keep you in that class by just because of his mercy. He will keep you in that class to learn and to learn and to learn until you are able to pass the test. May God Almighty give us the grace to be able to pass the test in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then after that, that's between John chapter 15, you see, verse 1 to 4. Verse 4 to verse 8 talks about abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. Abiding is you living your life as Christ has designed it. If anyone comes to find you, they can only find you in one place. In Christ. In Christ. And that is what it means. You see, abiding in Christ is not you carrying the name of Christ on your head. It's about living the life. And I've said it many times, if you want to live the life of Christ, there is only one way I know you can live it. Pray, pray, pray. Ask God to give you the grace. Don't wake up today and say, today, no matter what, I want to be a child of God. No matter what happens, I will not lie, I will not steal, I will not do this, I will not do that. And then you set out with your own strength. You will fall. You will fall. So you say, by strength shall no man prevail. There's no way you're going to prevail by your own strength. So the only way I know that there might be other ways, but based on my own little understanding of the scriptures, one assured way of overcoming sin is to be filled with the Holy Spirit consistently. And how are you going to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Praying for it. So every day of your life, you are praying. This is why the Bible says pray without ceasing. Because if you are praying without ceasing, then you can overcome temptations that come your way. You can overcome. So you need to pray and fill up consistently. If you are filled with the Spirit, there is no way you'll be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It's not possible. It's just not possible. You understand? So it's as simple as that. So I pray God will give us grace and strength. In Jesus' name. Verse 9 to 17 talks about loving one another. And that's the essence of everything in the Bible. Love is the greatest of all commandments. Love your brother. Love, love. Simple message. Love. Forgive. If you say you love someone and you cannot forgive the person, you don't love the person. I don't know. If you are married, you claim to love yourself and you cannot forgive at the instance of that offense. It's not something you keep in your heart for 4 days and then you now forgive. No. I'm talking about, for my own true definition of forgiveness is that you forgive the person on the spot. On the spot. Or almost immediately. You know, forgive the person. Just let it go. Let it go. You can't keep keeping that hurt in your heart. If you truly love the person, forgive that person. And, you know, love is expressed by action. Stop telling people that you love them. It's very common in my fellowship when I was in university. Oh, love is always in the air. In fact, we have a song there. I need you, you need me. We are all part of God's body. You know, if this is will that every need, we'll sing that song at the end of the service. You know, because there's always love in there. But, you know, people really need love. In fact, the kind of love that people were having at that time is the brother and sister love that at the end of the service, they know where they meet. Just started seeing that this brother has impregnated this. Maybe we should stop singing, I need you to survive. That's not the kind of love I'm talking about this morning. Talking about genuine agape love. And that love is defined mostly as you being willing to surrender your life for another when you're not being selfish. It is that love that makes you pray. And then almost all your prayer is about others, not you. It is that kind of love that will make you put others ahead of yourself. You're thinking about how that brother would feel. when you do that thing. It's not just about you and you and you alone. You know, so that's the message, you know, from verse 9 to verse 17. And then finally, because of our time, we're just going to talk about the last part, verse 18 to 27, talks about the true disciples. The true disciples. You know, if you really want to be a disciple of Jesus, I would recommend that you read the Gospels from Matthew to John. Read it, maybe one chapter a day. Then you will understand what it means to be a disciple. You know, what are the things that, I mean, basic things that we should have as being a disciple of Jesus? You know, it's mostly about, you know, sacrifice. Discipleship in the Bible is about sacrifice. It's a major sacrifice. You releasing what you have, you know, and saying, okay, God, whatever it is you want me to do is what I will do. I'll follow you no matter what. Just tell me what to do and I will do it. I mean, anything. Anything you ask me to do, I am ready to do it. A disciple is also a student, someone who follows what the teacher does. So it is what Jesus is doing that you're doing. And then finally, if you're a disciple of Jesus, at some point in your life, or most of the times, you are going to be hated by people. Because you are going to give people a lot of problems. For instance, they have all agreed. Now, when the lecturer comes, let's tell the lecturer that there was no assignment given to us. And you decided to say, no, I'm a child of God. I'm going to tell the lecturer that an assignment was given. You are going to be hated. You are definitely going to be hated. If, you know, especially by the world would not want to relate with you because you're going to put them in trouble. You understand? That's how to be a disciple of Jesus. You know, this idea of, a pastor must be loved. Jesus was attacked every single day of his life. He was attacked. I mean, when I say every day, I'm using that in replacement for consistently. He was being rebuked. He was being abused. At the end of the day, they even killed him. You know, that's what being a disciple does to us. So most of us are not even near anything disciple. But I pray that grace will be ministered to us. In Jesus' name. Thank you very much for joining to this podcast. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.